Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Aleph. The Mishnah that we are about to read is the subject of a discussion because this Mishnah already appeared word for word on Daf Mem Tes Omen Aleph. Some suggest that the bold-faced word Masnisen and the subsequent bold-faced Gimel Mem Gemora expression are here by mistake, and that this simply is a Dibur HaMasul. It's a quote from the Mishnah on Mem Tes Omen Aleph, with a brisa that follows that covers the topics of this particular quote from the Mishnah. Either way, let's continue in the text. Hanoider mi maisa kedera, a person who forswears benefiting from maisa kedera. Ein osur elo mi maisa raschosa. We look at Rashi mi maisa raschosa. Hainu dover shenigmar bishul bekedera. By swearing not to benefit from maisa kedera, literally maisa kedera means something that's prepared in a kedera. There is a pot. What is the result of such a vow? So as Rashi says, it's a reference to food whose completion, cooking completion, is in a kedera. The eino elo mechamishas haminim. In addition, the food is something made from one of the five different types of grains, barley, wheat, rye, spelt, and oats. Lafuke dovar, this is to the exclusion, however, of dovar she'en gemar bishul b'kedera, ad she'mevashen oso b'ilfis. There are food items whose initial cooking takes place in a kedera, one that's a type of pot, but the final stage is in an ilfis, another type of, we'll say, of pot. The you can see in the Meforshim that the term tigun, you can see this in the Rosh commentary, second line from the very bottom, kedem shemitagnin oso beilfis. Mitagnin, tigun, has to do with what we would call frying, like frying in oil. So that we will attempt to translate the terms kedera and ilfis, though we're not going to guarantee our translation, but based on what you see in the Meforshim, we're taking, we'll say, a reasonable, or we'll call it an educated guess. A kedera being a, we'll call it a boiling pot, and an ilfis, a low-walled type pan that's used for frying. So the person who vows not to benefit from maisa kedera, he will not be prohibiting himself from enjoying those kind of foods, though their preparation is started in a pot, but their final preparation is through frying. Omar kainim hayoyred l'kedera she'eni tayim. If he phrases his vow this way, kainim hayoyred l'kedera she'eni tayim, also b'chol hanase b'kedera. This is more inclusive, and he's prohibiting himself from anything that is prepared in a kedera, even something that will be prepared in an ilfis, so that you can have something that starts off in a kedera and its final stage of preparation is in an ilfis. This will be prohibited to him. Rashi's explanation on b'chol hanasa b'kedera, afilu mevushol b'ilfis, also even if it's cooked or prepared in an ilfis, this term, kainim shayuri l'kidera, will include that as being prohibited. Now the Gemara presents a Tanaic source, Tanya. Hanoder min hayoreid likadera. If a person uses that expression, he doesn't want to benefit from that which literally means descends into a kadera. Osir b'yoreid l'ilfis. He's prohibiting himself from things that are prepared in an ilfis. Why? Shikfar yorad likadera kerim shiyoreid l'ilfis. The food had been exposed to a kedera before it got to the ilfis, so the vow is including, therefore, something whose final preparation is in an ilfis. Once again, because prior to the ilfis, it had been in a kedera. If he says, min ha-yoreid le-ilfis, muter be-yoreid le-kedera. This means, according to Rashi, that if a person swears not to benefit from yorei lilfis, he is allowed to partake of something that is put into a kedera before it goes into an ilfis. If we look in the Rashi, min hayorei bilfis muter biyorei lekedera koidem sheyorad or sheyerei lilfis. There's a Tosfos commentary. Min hayoreid lilfis. We're looking at the Tosfos together in the last third of the Tosfos commentary. Min hayoreid lilfis muter biyoreid likadera tchila. Something, if he vows not to benefit from a yoreid bilfis, he is allowed to partake of things that go into a kedera first. And here Tosfos says something that we didn't explain before. Afal pi shenigmar bilfis. Even though its final preparation is in fact in an ilfis, the yoreid li oilum mashma al shame tchilas yiridosav lo al shame sofo. The word yoreid is a reference to the beginning stage of its preparation and not its end stage. So that if he forswears benefiting from a yoreid li ilfis, the fact that it's completed in an ilfis doesn't subject it to this particular vow, because all it's referring to is that which started off in an ilfis, not that which starts off in a kedera. The Gemara continues, min ha-na'aseh. Notice here we're using the word na'aseh instead of the word yoreid. If a person swore not to benefit min ha-na'aseh b'kedera, this is mashma, something that is completed in a kedera, muter benase beilfis. He is allowed to partake of something that's nase in an ilfis, even though prior to the ilfis it had been in a kedera. Mina nase beilfis. If a person swore not to benefit from something or not to eat something that was nase beilfis, muter benase bekedera. He is allowed to partake of something that is completed in a kedera, even though prior to that it was in an ilfis. Because, once again, the word naseh means something that was completed in whatever the vow specified. Hanoder min hayoreid letanur, ein osur elo bepas. If he terms his vow that way, anything that is yorei l'taner, what he means to exclude or what he means to prohibit, is benefiting from bread. V'imomar kol maise tanur olai, if he phrases the vow that way, kol maise tanur olai, that's more inclusive. Osir b'chol hanasim b'taner, that will include anything or all things that are prepared in an oven. We continue with the Gemara at the top, let's say Mishnah, in fact, at the top of Omid Beis. A person vows, min ha-kovush. He doesn't want to eat that which is kovush. No, kovush generally means something that is pickled or preserved in a brine, But for Nidorim purposes, Min HaKavush, you can see there's certain key words that are going to figure in this Mishnah, and on the side under the Nosei heading, we feature Noder Min, someone who swore not to benefit Min HaKavush, HaSholuk, HaTzli, HaMaliach. What do each one of these refer to? So we'll see. This Mishnah and the next Mishnah feature these expressions. So the Mishnah says, "Min hakavush ein osur elo min hakavush shel yerek." That vow, in effect, would be prohibiting him only from preserved vegetables. Kavush sheini toem. Notice a different phrase. Osur b'chol hakvushim. Anything that is pickled. There are many types of fish that people pickle in brine. So that would be included if you say kovush eini toim. Person vows min hasholuk. He's not going to partake of sholuk. Enu asur elo min hasholuk shel bosar. Sholuk, we've seen in the past as a reference to a certain level of cooking, either undercooking or overcooking. But whatever the case is, it would be something that deals with sholuk of bosar, of meat. If, however, he says sholuk she'eni toyeim, then osur b'chol hashlukim. Whatever food is prepared in the sholuk fashion would be prohibited. Amar le Rav Acha braid Rav Avila Rav Ashi. Rav Acha asks Rav Ashi, Omar, what if a person says dekovish mai, or desholik mai, or detzli mai, or demaliach mai? Heichin mashma. What about these expressions? Two of these expressions, kovish and shalik, we saw similar words, kovush and shaluk, but we're dealing with nedarim, which focuses on the fine meaning or perception of words, and hence room for this question. What do these words include? Rashi elaborates a bit on this. Rashi on the first narrow line, Omer kinim de kovish alai de shaluk alai mai mi amrinon. The kovish domi keman domer hakovush o dilma domi keman domer kovush shani toim v'yosir b'chol hakvushim. Does kovish resemble kovush? And we saw that would mean only pickled vegetables. Or does it imply kovush shani toim, which would include anything that's pickled? And likewise with regard to the other words, are they reflective of the otherwise limiting expression, or do they include the more expansive definition? The Gemara ends off with this by saying, Tiboy, it's unresolved. The Mishnah, Min Hatzli, if a person vowed not to partake of Tzli, Ein Osur Elo Min Hatzli Shel Bosar, roasted meat, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Tzli shani toyim, osur b'chol hatzluyim. If he uses that expression, tzli shani toyim, similar to what we saw in the previous Mishnah, this type of expression includes anything roasted. Min hamoliach ein osur ela min hamoliach shel dag. If a person uses that expression, moliach, on a literal basis, it would be translated something that's salted. But the term moliach is peculiar specifically a reference to preserved or salted fish. However, if he says maliach shni tayim, osur b'chol hamluchim, that would include any food item that's prepared through salting. Dog dogim shani tayim. If a person uses an expression like that, dog has to do with fish. Dog dagim. So what is the result? Osur bohen. He's forbidden in fish. Bein gdolim, bein tanim, bein luchim, bein tfelim, bein chayim, bein mevushalim. The dog dagim expression will include gdolim, large fish, ktanim, small fish, whether they're salted, whether they're tfelim, means unsalted, whether they're raw, or whether they're cooked. Umutter b'toris trufa u'betzir v'muyas. However, dog dogim does not include toris trufa. Toris is the name of a fish. However, trufa means it's chopped into small pieces, meaning it's not whole. So that the term dog dogim indicates something, whatever, if it's big or small, but it's whole. Trufa, it's chopped. So dog dogim will not include Taurus trufa. Taurus, again, is the name of a specific kind of fish that's chopped up. And tzir, brine, murius, is something that's made from the fat of fish. So the tzir, brine, is made from the fish entrails, and murius is something made from fish fats. Hanoder min hatzachano, if one swears or vows not to benefit from tzachano, osur b'toras trufa, umuter b'tzir uvamurius. The Ran elaborates on this on the first wide line under the Gemara text. Hanoder min hatzachano, osur b'toras trufa. Tzachano is dogim ktanim harbei meluchim v'yeshmem trufim. Tzachana is a reference to a lot of small fish that are salted, and amongst them you'll find cut ones, chopped ones. Elishruban shlemin, the majority of them are whole. The katoni dekivan shiyesh man trufin, since amongst them there are those that are chopped, osur betaras trufa. Since tzachana is a reference to a collection and amassing of small fish, some of which are not whole anymore. So, by saying, I'm not going to benefit from tzachana, you're prohibiting yourself from benefiting from Torah's trufa. Umiyu b'tzir v'murias mutar. However, regarding tzir and murias, he remains allowed. L'fi she'ein bohen chaticha sheldag el ha'shmona v'krevov. You don't have pieces of fish in tzir and murias, but rather you have fish fats and fish entrails. The Mishnah continues, Hanoder mitoras trufa, osur betzir uvamurius. The girsa that we see in the Mishnah, osur betzir uvamurius, is in fact the girsa you find in Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rosh. The Ran has an opposite girsa, he has muter. But for our purposes, the majority of the Meforshim keep the girsa of our Mishnah. One who vows not to benefit from Torah's trufa is not allowed to partake of tzir and murias. Bear in mind, before we read the Ran's approach, here the Mishnah reflects as the girsa of Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rosh, that one who vows not to benefit from Torah's trufa cannot partake of tzir and murias. And the Rashi says also, but tzir and murias, dahani bechlau trufininu. Tzir and murias are a subcategory of trufin, things that are cut up, chopped up. The Gemara, Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, Rabbi Shimon ben Lozer Omer, dog shani toyem, if a person uses that expression in his vow, also begdolim uter begtanim. He is preventing himself from eating large fish, but allowing small fish. Doggah shani toim. If he uses the word doggah, then also b'ktanim u'mutar b'gdolim. Doggah implies small fish, but allowing large fish. Doggah shani toim. Also bein b'gdolim bein b'ktanim. He is prohibiting himself from large and small. Omar le Rav Papa Labai Mimai, the dog shani toim godolhu. From where do you know that dog is a reference to a large fish? Dichtiv Ayeman Hashem dog gadol levloya es yoina. In the famous story of Jonah and the whale, as many may recognize that story, the prophet Jonah was cast into the sea, and he was at a certain point was swallowed up by a dog gadol. So you see that the word dog is associated with gadol. The Gemara asks, "V'hoksi v'yispalel yoinel Hashem alekov mimei hadoga." It says, and Jonah prayed to the Almighty from within the doga. So, are we then to conclude that doga means something large? Before we said that doga indicated something small. The Gemara says, "Halo kashya." This does not represent a challenge to what we said before. Dilma palte da gadol uvalei da katan. The terms should be viewed relatively, namely that Yonah initially was swallowed by a large sea creature and was then cast out of that large sea, palte means the fish just spit out Yonah, and then a smaller one consumed him or swallowed him. So that relative to the original fish, the second fish that this pasuk is referring to, that Yonah prayed from within the dagah, it in fact was smaller than the original fish. Hence, dagah is appropriately a reference to something small. Elo v'hadagah asher bayor mesa. Here we have a problem. It says in the plague of dam, of blood, that the Almighty brought upon the Egyptians. It says the dagah that were in the Yor. The Yor is the river. Some people like would translate it as the Nile. But all the dagah in the Yor, they died. Ketana mesu gedola lo mesu. Are you to say that only the small fish died and the large ones did not? Ela, truth is, dagah mashma gedola mashma ketana. The word dagah is not limited to one size. One can infer from dagah a reference to large and a reference to small. However, ubinidorim, with regard to the realm of vows, halocha har loshen bnei adam, you follow common speech, and in common speech, dagah is used to refer to small fish. Hanodir min hatzachana v'chulei amali ravino ravashi. Omar hare olai tzichin mai. What about if a person phrased his vow this way? Hare olai tzichin. Does that prohibit tzir and murius or not? The Ran elaborates a bit on this. Omar hare olai tzichin mai. Mi mitzar b'tzir murius olo. Does that prohibit him from the brine and murias or not? The mishum hachi mikru dogim ktanim kivushim tzachana. Small pickled fish are called tzachim. Eshat sir hayotzman reichay noidev. It has the brine is foul smelling. Miloshim vatal tzachanosay. From the pasuk that says vatal tzachanosay, reference to something of, let's say, foul odor. The word tzichin has the sound, sounds like something that's inclusive. Does tzichin include, therefore, tzir umuris? And as far as this question is concerned, the Gemara ends off tiboi, leaving it unresolved. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.